Welcome to the Chat with Father Matt. Every week we'll chat about the faith with various people. We plan to keep the show light and interesting, and we'll even sometimes get off topic, but we'll always try to be a beacon of light. If you have a subject you'd like to discuss on the show, just send us an email at vicar@fortrecoverycatholics.org or Facebook at Fort Recovery Catholic Cluster. Welcome back to the Chat with Father Matt. Today I have Hannah Bargy and Quinn Hussey here in the studio.
Hey.
What's up?
Hey, guys.
Hannah is the youth minister in Fort Recovery, and Quinn is her boyfriend.
Yep.
It's exciting to have you guys actually in studio. Usually I'm in the studio by myself, Skyping with either one of my classmates or a seminarian that... you know, they're in Cincinnati, so it's kind of hard for them
usually
to
usually just chilling by yourself.
2 hours, yeah.
So you have some company today.
I know. I can, actually see facial expressions, so I might actually know if they're joking or not, or being sarcastic, or actually being serious.
Good.
It's pretty cool to have those kind of cues, you know?
Yeah.
Having, like, this body language tells a lot about someone and not
it's
necessarily...
It's easier to communicate with someone
when
you're in person with someone.
I like using my hands sometimes.
I
use your
too.
Hands, even though they can't see
especially in confession. Yeah. Even if the person's behind the screen, I always like raise my hands up and down. I'm not
do
sure exactly why.
Right now.
Yeah.
Right.
When I'm
confessing. Well, they can't see us. Yeah. You know. When you're confessing, your hands are going all over the place.
Yes.
I don't know. It feels like I'm saying something greater than what I really say.
Right.
Not
it's
necessarily.
The hands. Yeah.
Yes. Your body speaks a lot.
It sure does.
It does. That's true.
Yeah, it really does. We'll be talking about that today. Ladies and gentlemen,
I think that's that was kind of the plan for us to talk about. But like man and women coming together, trying to figure out if we like each other or not, and if we should, you know, shoot for this goal of marriage, and like all that entails in between. It can be a really long process for some. It can be a little bit shorter process for others. The church asked us to wait at least 6 months, but hopefully we know each other a little bit before that 6 months that comes through the marriage preparation time.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe you guys can give a little background of kind of your relationship, and then we can kind of dive in there from there.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. Well, I think it'd be funny to share a little bit about where it all started, because it's a little funny, you know?
Yeah.
So the whole relationship was kind of funny the way it began, first of all, because it sounds like a fantasy story, because we met on a Caribbean island. Like, so if you just tell people that, that seems like it's very odd. You know, you usually don't meet someone when you're just like on a beach somewhere one day. But a little background to that too.
Sure.
We were both on a mission trip in Grenada this past summer. I chaperoned with another group from Ohio, and Quinn was there with his brother, right? And you guys were...
We were playing music.
Yeah.
It was a organization called Catholic Heart Work Camp, and it's a week long, you know, work camp for high school kids to work and help out in the community. And me and my brother Sean were hired as the musicians.
Okay.
Because in the evenings they come back from the day of work, hard work, and they we have mass and praise and worship and entertainment. So I was in charge of that with my brother.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah, so we met each other there, like just kind of hung out for that week, got to know each other, and then we went on a magical scooter ride, and you know, like a magical bus ride,
but the magic carpet ride.
Yeah, like magic carpet ride, but we only had a scooter at the time.
That's right.
Did he show you the world, shining, shimmery?
Show me a tiny island in a waterfall.
Yeah,
and
most of the island.
Most of the island on a scooter. Yeah. So it was kind of funny.
But wait, back up a little bit, though.
Okay.
What was your attitude going into this about just...
going into the week of the mission trip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you were telling me about, you know, what you were thinking about, just boys.
Yeah, just thinking about boys. Prior to this trip, I actually, went through, like, a kind of silly heartbreak thing. You know, when your crush is like, no... I don't like you, you know. You know, they like check the like no on the like little like do you like me? No, you know.
The
thing.
Little note that you passed. Across
yeah. And I finally was like, oh, fine. And I just
boys
are stupid. Yeah. I was like, yeah, single life. Literally, I was. And I really wanted to focus on just like centering my life on my relationship with Christ first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And because I knew that if that was my primary focus, then I knew that God would provide in his timing, and his timing is always perfect. So
sure.
I said, you know, Lord, take over, whatever. I'm going to go run away to this island for a little bit. So I went on this trip, like totally like excited, you know, to really dive more into like the single life and hopefully, you know, learn a lot about myself and just grow deeper with Christ in that time, because it's a very good time. Like, sure. You know, dating's great, you know, everything. Every time of your life is awesome. But the single life can be really good too, because you kind of forget sometimes that that's actually a really crucial time in someone's life.
Yeah.
I know it's hard for girls, absolutely. But it's very crucial. So I wasn't dating anybody prior to that, but I did go into the week like, you know, hoping to, you know, just like excited to go into the summer, you know, and start this time of my life. And I went to this week, and all of a sudden we were at mass the first day at this cathedral in Grenada, and I was going up for communion. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go, you know, receive Jesus Christ, this is awesome. And as I'm standing up for communion, all of a sudden these two angels came out of nowhere, just kidding, in the choir loft, singing one of like my favorite songs. And I turn around, I'm like, oh my gosh, what the heck. And saw these two beautiful voices were singing, and then we met after that, and just kind of I went in from there, and I was just like, wait, Jesus already? That was quick, you know, but
I gave you one day.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Right. It was a couple weeks, but
okay.
Yeah. But still very, you know, unexpected, but it was a good unexpected. So
nice.
Yeah. And my attitude was, it was funny. I was actually still dating someone. Technically I was dating someone else. At the time, I was on a family reunion in Florida the week before this trip to Grenada, and my girlfriend, my other girlfriend was with us that whole week, and just throughout that week, I just kind of just decided that it just wasn't the right fit.
Wow.
And that was really hard, and we had a conversation at the end of that week that was basically our breakup, but then, you know, the next day I felt really bad, and it was really hard to see her so sad, to be honest. It was so hard. And so I'm like, you know what, maybe not, you know, maybe we don't need to end it just yet, but just see what happens. And then I got in the plane.
I was just backing out and being like, oh, I guess we'll lead you on a little bit more.
Yeah, I know.
Usually the girl
exactly.
kind of does
it's
that,
hard.
Not necessarily the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was obvious. I mean, I got on the plane that day, because we had the conversation the night before I left for Grenada. And then I got on the plane, and as soon as I got on the plane, maybe just an hour into the flight, I was just like, okay, it's done. We gotta do, I don't know why, I just,
you can't just like keep dragging this out.
I don't know why. So it had to happen. So and it was just crazy. I definitely didn't expect to find somebody else, you know. I was pretty much committed and ready to just be single for a while as well, and wait it out and see what happens. But
man,
yeah, it was crazy to meet Hannah.
That's great. I mean, it's just amazing how kind of you give God your time, yourself, and then in his time, things happen. It could be a pretty long time, but it seems like in your guys' case, it was a little shorter time in that.
Yeah.
So
usually I'm so used to, you know, usually so used to waiting and waiting and stuff, but
so. And I think that sometimes we do that in our prayer. We're just like, God, answer me. God, answer me. Answer me. Answer me.
Right.
And then we don't necessarily see an outcome either way. And we just kind of get frustrated and then kind of lose our faith in God to a certain extent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then almost give up and don't know where to go from there. And we need to keep on asking God more. Is there something wrong with me, or what's going on?
Yeah. More time. Usually when God keeps you waiting, he's keeping you waiting for a very good reason. So. Sure. You just have to hold on to that hope a little bit longer.
Well, it's just in the attitude that Hannah had coming into the trip is very good, and God blesses that, I think. And even mine, because it was hard to make the decision, because we had only been dating for a month or so with me and this other girl. And it was hard to make that decision, but it was the right one. Because you can't just keep leading on someone if you don't have the feelings. And so I think both of us had a good attitude going into this week, and God blesses that.
So you took a girl to Florida that you're only dating for a month?
Yeah, well, she was from North Carolina, so we were actually dating distance as well.
Okay.
And it just worked out that she was able to drive down to Florida and meet us there. Sure. Yeah.
So we heard your story now. It's pretty interesting. But now, how has this dating relationship kind of worked out? I mean, I'm sure there's all kinds of different components that we can kind of focus on. You know, there's some distance between you two. There's obviously the faith that we kind of want to implement into a dating relationship. Mm-hmm. Where would you like to kind of take this direction?
That's a good question, Father Matt. There's a lot of things that you could talk about. I guess when you presented it to us, like talk about Catholic dating, like mm-hmm. there's a million things come to your mind, mm-hmm. of course, too. One of the big things for us away from the get-go of our relationship was it was already determined that we were going to be dating long distance. Okay. So we knew off the bat that this was not going to be like a normal dating, you know, relationship right away. But it was kind of good in the beginning because, I mean, it's what it was, you know, so we just had to, you know, go with it. Mm-hmm. And it's proven to be, of course, very difficult because when you like someone and you want to spend time with them, you want to, you know, be close proximity with them. But the distance was actually and continues to be kind of a blessing for sure.
Because we're still dating long distance for all the listeners.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. It's still happening. And will be probably happening for, you know, a good amount of time from now on. But anyways, that distance has really helped grow our relationship because, you know, we have to like be real clear and intentional with each other right all the time because we don't like, you know, because you don't, if you're going to be dating long distance, that's kind of a commitment to make, you know, it takes a lot out of you. Mm-hmm. It takes, you know, it takes a lot more planning and preparation, setting a time for each other. You know, you can't just call someone up and go hang out, you know.
And you have to put in the time on the phone and you have to schedule that in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's.
Yeah.
It's
we literally schedule it in.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right.
So that's been, it's been good because it's proven like, you know, it really has shown us right away, like where we want to take this, like where our hearts are in it. But especially in our communication with each other. Mm-hmm. That's been really good to establish that communication like right away.
Yeah.
Because it's the one thing that we have, you know, we don't get to, you know, really be with each other in person very much. So we have to learn how to communicate in a lot of different ways, just over the phone. And I'm really grateful for 2017 because of FaceTime.
Yeah, it's been good.
It'd be a different story.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
That was not necessarily there a couple of years ago, for sure.
Yeah.
Another but sometimes thing. I just want to call you on the phone, though, because seeing your face is just, like, way too hard for me. I need it. I need the real thing. Mm-hmm. You know?
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and communication seems to be one of the biggest difficulties in marriages and in dating. And people are right next to each other, but the technology in this world, there's so many different ways to communicate, but I think it's lessening the way we can actually draw deeper into each other and get to know the person a lot deeper than just through text message and email.
Yeah, exactly.
Just social media, things like that.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. And also, like, as well, too, like, it's been, we're trying to, like, learn, understand communicating with each other distantly. Also, it's been kind of funny trying to learn how to, like, keep a prayer life going with each other too long distance because you know I love going to mass with Quinn and just getting that time to have holy hour with him so that's hard too because I like we want to hold on to that you know when there's you know time like weeks and months apart from each other so that's been interesting too trying to keep a prayer life going.
We've done pretty good on the phone with morning prayer each morning and night prayer usually together on the phone. It's actually been pretty good, I think. But it's funny that when we're together, I think we've actually struggled to actually make the time to pray because we're so used to the distance, and now we've gotten used to that. Mm-hmm. And when we're together for a whole week, you know, we're so excited to be together that it's we forget to pray actually.
Yeah,
so we should do better at that.
Some people talk about you know, praying is my own personal thing, and I don't know if I can really go and share that with another person, or if I can. It just feels awkward because I don't know what to do with the other person. Do you have any pointer? Like you guys did, though, you say you do morning and evening prayer, so it's easier to do kind of set prayers than just kind of spontaneously.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking to God.
We have that. Thank God for the breviary and stuff we've had. That has helped keep like a routine to our prayer, having morning, evening, or sometimes daytime prayer as well. Mm-hmm.
And usually a spontaneous prayer will come out of that before or after the breviary. Mm-hmm. But it's very good to have that routine. It's, you know, pray without ceasing.
Yeah, true. Exactly.
And I would just recommend to couples just to start, like,
yeah,
just give a time to do it and just give mm-hmm. that time to God.
Yeah.
And not just say, yeah, we'll do it.
Right, because it's have not all these things.
Right, if you keep on excusing yourself,
yeah,
it's never definitely. Going to happen in there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, and that plays into the whole, like, it's, you know, it's not about us. Reminding it's a simple way to remind ourselves that it's not about us. So if we put that as like a primary part of our relationship, then it helps kind of keep establishing that it's not about us. Mm-hmm. It's about keeping Christ the center.
The center.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And then hopefully down the road, if this ever happens, y'all already have Christ in the center. So if the relationship goes further, then you're already to accept him sacramentally.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Always seems almost foreign to some people. Even though they're raised Catholic, they receive these kind of sacraments. They kind of go through the motions and stuff, but do they really have that personal relationship with God? Does a couple actually have that personal relationship with God before they go on?
Yeah. Because, I mean, that's what our life is all about, you know, striving for heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And if your partner, your future spouse, isn't in line with that goal as well, then it's you're going to it's just going to crumble and fall away. And that's not good. So... Mm.
And one piece of advice, too, I think it's pretty obvious, but don't go into the relationship expecting your partner to change, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But rather to, you know, work on yourself first,
because
it's always about serving others, and it's not about yourself, really.
Mm-hmm. No, it's not.
That's the whole Christian life.
Yeah, exactly. Especially in the sacrament of marriage, and that you need to start practicing that and getting that. You know, in your mind and in your heart and your dating life.
So you guys seem to be far along on kind of having this communication, having this prayer life together. What are some kind of practical tips things have you guys done to kind of help bring you guys to this point, to kind of make you the man or woman that you are today?
That's a good question. Like we were saying, definitely that prayer life is huge. But also in that prayer life, being really open with each other, just communicating like where our hearts are at a lot of times too. I feel like that's important. I mean, you need to be open and honest with each other, of course, all the time, but especially about those deep desires in your heart or, just sharing like, you know, sharing joys with each other, but also sharing the struggles and the pains of your life as well too, because, you just need to like, you know, you need to have everything out there and open. If you're going to be discerning marriage with someone, you want to, you know, show them, you know, who you are, and hopefully that person can help, you know, either, you know, help you guide you along moving forward in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was the question?
how do you
practical tips to like help you?
Practical tips to help you form yourself as a man or a woman to kind of go out of yourself and then serve the other person and communicate and pray with that other person.
Okay. Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's
a great question.
Yeah.
Also,
really important. I mean, in your Christian life too, like what you do, hopefully as a practicing Catholic, like involve your, you know, your boyfriend or girlfriend in that too. So like you go to mass, well, go to mass now with your, with your boyfriend or girlfriend or something, or go to confession with each other, start establishing that kind of that, you know, involve them in those kinds of parts of your life. Those aren't separate. Those shouldn't be kind of separate things. Right. Normal things too, you know, whatever things that you enjoy doing with each other, whatever, you know, things that you like to do, Quinn, you know, hopefully sharing in those with you as well.
Mm-hmm.
What were you going to say?
I had something.
Oh.
what was I thinking? Oh, yeah. I was thinking about the other, we do a men's night once a month at Montclair State for the college students, me and my focus missionaries. And this last time we were talking about, you know, how do most guys in college are they thinking about marriage right now, whether they're in a relationship or not? And there was, we watched this short video of this team of missionaries who went around interviewing college men. You know, like, how, what are you doing to prepare yourself for your job? You know, what does that look like? Are you preparing yourself for your job? Is that, why are you here in college? Most people say, yeah, I'm here to get my education so that I can get a job. You know, that's pretty straightforward. And then the next question is, have you ever thought about, you know, preparing yourself for marriage? Are you doing that now? Have you ever thought about that? And most of the responses were, no, never thought about that. You know, like, and this is just how, this is just seems how, you know, most of the world just kind of thinks. They don't really think about preparing yourself for marriage.
Sure.
And you can do that even if you're not dating.
Yeah.
But while you're dating, how can we prepare ourselves for marriage? What do you think, Hannah?
Well,
throw that on you.
Just more and more, I think people see their friends around them. They're starting to date and they get married. And then they might feel like they're behind. And then they just kind of find someone and maybe just slide into this kind of marriage vocation. But I don't think that's the right way to do it. I mean, we all are called to a vocation in life. I mean, either the priesthood, religious life, or married life. And finding that someone might help us along to see if the marriage vocation is right for us. But does that really make it right to do, or do we really need to kind of discern and see what God is calling us to?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we can have preparations personally. We can always have preparations.
Self-control.
Self-control, sure.
Right. Yeah, it's a lot of, like, I mean, yeah, you're practicing a lot of things.
It's all about the virtues.
Yeah.
Growing
in
virtue.
Yeah, essentially that's what it is.
Becoming a better man.
And a better woman. So that, like, not just a better woman for yourself, but, like, a better woman for your man.
Right.
For your man. or, you know, being a better man. So, because, like we were saying, you know, those two are not supposed to, like, those two are supposed to complement each other, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. a woman and a man. You know, that's why God created man and woman not to be alone, you know. So, like, you know, once you understand that and you grow as a woman or as a man, those two hopefully will help, you know, help continue you guys moving forward and growing in virtue and strength and as Christians. So
just continue this virtue talk. I'll attempt to describe this upright man.
I wish you guys could see this graphic.
Oh, man.
It's so detailed. Please
very
explain.
Detailed.
So,
stick man and all.
Well, the upright man, I drew a stick figure. And this isn't mine. I didn't come up with this, But I drew a stick figure, you know, this circle head.
Smiley face.
And a stick body, of course. Right? Smiley face. Always smiling. And the head I wrote... On the head, I wrote intellect, and then near the heart, I wrote will, and near the groin, you know, I wrote groin. Actually, I'm supposed to write passions. I wrote groin near the groin, but I meant to write passions.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay, sorry about that. So passions.
Passions, okay. Uh-huh.
Okay. And so, okay, so an upright man, right? Our intellect is supposed to inform our will, right? And our will is supposed to inform our passions. But I think that the world has that flipped, right? Mm-hmm. And so that it's our passions that are controlling us. So if you flip this stick figure upside down, that's the upside down, you know, man. Mm-hmm. And so it's the passions that's driving his will, and the will and his intellect. But virtue is really knowing what's good, right? And being able to act on that. So that should inform your will, and that will should inform your passion. So you should be able to control those things. Does that make sense?
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Very Thomas Aquinas of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's good, especially in this world where social norm is to basically do whatever you want. If it feels good, just go at it. Stop stifling yourself, and you know, don't make any choices for other people. Just make the choices for yourself.
Right.
But I think that leads to unhappiness.
Yeah, definitely.
Because you're just kind of filling yourself up with whatever kind of comes. It can be garbage. It could be good stuff. It could just be there. But if you're able to kind of sort that out more intellectually, then you can lead yourself to see where the good is, and then ultimately seek happiness.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Totally. Because, I mean, once you start, if you start to make the relationship like about you or too much about the other person, you know, you get kind of consumed and obsessed and, you know, thinking
your
that
identity is just all
exactly
your boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your identity is not in that, in the other person at all.
It shouldn't be.
Yeah. No. We start to like, we think that's going to, you know, bring us our, this happiness, mm-hmm. but, the odd thing is like, it doesn't, you know, eventually mm-hmm. you start to realize that if you're just kind of doing what you want and what feels good, you start to lose the true joy and peace that like you are, that we're all seeking.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I mean, that's the unfortunate thing about a lot of relationships nowadays is that people are, you know, seeking, this joy and this happiness, you
just
know,
instant gratification.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And,
no one ever wants to work for things.
Yeah, exactly.
Anymore.
Yeah.
And I think in everything that it's we do, too hard. We need to work for it, especially in relationships.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gonna be hard. So.
Absolutely.
It's gonna be hard, but.
Life is hard. That's how it is.
Yeah. Sure. It's gonna be hard, but you know.
Too bad we're not back in the Garden of Eden.
That's right.
Good things, you know, though good things can be hard. Mm-hmm. So.
If there was. I guess one piece of advice that you would give to someone that's either discerning marriage or discerning or still single and looking to date someone, what kind of piece of advice would you give to that person?
Mm-hmm. I would say put Christ in the center. And if that's not there, it's going to be hard. I've heard Matthew Kelly talk about, you know, a lot of people, like 50% divorce rate or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he says that a lot of people get married because they have similar interests, things in common at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, maybe those things can change and grow apart. And without something that's a foundation that's never changing, something unchanging, it's going to be hard to be able to remain together. And so Christ in the center as the foundation, the church as the foundation of your relationship, mm-hmm. unchanging, the one thing that's unchanging in a relationship, guaranteed. And that's the thing that's going to hold a relationship together every time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because people are going to get ugly eventually.
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding. What I'm meaning to say that, like, if you're basing it solely off of, like, your attractions of someone, mm-hmm. like, you need to understand that those are going to fade.
Attractions, you
know? Yeah. Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Any piece of advice that you would give Hannah? Or you just agree with what...
Yeah, whatever Quinn
says. Your boy says.
A family that prays together stays together.
Yeah,
it's true. But, I mean, but we hear that cliche all the time.
It's very true. Mm-hmm. It's very, very mm-hmm. true. Yeah. Boyfriend and girlfriend that pray together, very likely that they'll stay together.
Or realize what God is calling.
Exactly. Also, exactly. Uh-huh. Right. Not necessarily stay together, but understand.
Discerning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. You have to be constantly discerning.
To discern is to know one thing from the other.
Yeah.
And to clearly know one thing from the other and to choose what is right for your life according to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Even if you are pretty confident and you feel really good about it, it's key to remember or to keep your mind on like the will of God for your life, because it may seem like this is like the most amazing person for you and like it's guaranteed, but you know, God's plans are better than ours, so you just need to constantly be handing over our will to him and hoping that, you know, he will provide for us. And he always does.
Mm-hmm.
Provides far beyond, you know, what we want or what we think we want. Mm-hmm. Ever since I was a little girl, I remember like asking, I don't know if I asked my mom this or something, but this is my shout out to my mom.
Oh, there
just
we go.
Hi, mom.
No, but we got on the topic of marriage one time, like when I was a young girl, and I was like 7, 8 or something. And the like one piece of advice that she gave me is that, like, and this has stuck with me and I've always refer back to it, is that your future spouse should be someone that you that helps you get to heaven and that you help them get to heaven. So I've always had that like visual in my mind that like one day I'd be walking with my spouse like into heaven or like dragging them in or he's dragging me or something, you know, but nonetheless you guys are getting each other there. So hopefully with that like mentality, that kind of helps guide the way you treat the other person and how you date them as well too. I ask myself sometimes, am I helping, you know, this person draw closer to Christ, or helping them become a better person and get closer to heaven?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I taking them away from that? And mm-hmm. am I keeping them away? So kind of just doing that, like being honest with yourself and that like kind of self-check once in a while, like, okay, you know, right. where is this going and, right. and what am I doing? Yeah.
That, and you can key. Do that self-check too, even in whatever relationship that yeah. you're in, or after marriage too. Mm-hmm. Just try to get that reset button yeah. to help realize what path we're going down, and are we actually helping our spouse get to heaven?
Right.
That would be great.
There's one thing I was thinking too, if I could add one more thing.
Yeah,
fine.
was single to all the single people out there, or single or dating.
Mm-hmm.
If you imagine your future spouse right now, and that may be the person you're dating, it might not be. If you're not dating, you know, just imagine who that might be,
mm-hmm.
and how would you want them to be treated?
Mm.
With respect, right? With dignity. Treated well, right? And so then you just turn that back on yourself. It's a really good practice. And if you're dating someone, are you treating your girlfriend or boyfriend the way that you want your future spouse to be treated?
Because this could be someone else's future spouse.
Sure, it could be someone else's, right? The person you're dating might not necessarily be the person you're going to marry. And someone else might be dating your future spouse. So how would you want them to be treated?
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Well, I'd be remiss if I didn't have you play a little song for us, since that was kind of a cool part of your guys' relationship, of the beginning of your relationship, when Hannah saw angelic voices from the rafters come down.
The rafters.
Well, it was a choir loft or no?
Yeah, it was a choir loft. Right. I mean, it was the first time I heard his voice in general or saw him, so it's funny. You know, I think of that every time. Plays the guitar.
Cool.
So it's cool.
Just get right into it.
Sure.
Get back to it. Wait.
What's that?
Can you explain this?
Sure.
What are you gonna sing for us today, Quinn Michael?
Make sure it's in tune here.
Oh, good.
Okay. This song, it's called. Dun, dun. I don't know what's it called, Anna.
Ohio.
She just likes it to be called Ohio. But I think it's called Ohio Ohana.
Oh.
And so it's because, you know, I fell in love with Hannah, really, right away. But I definitely fell in love with her on the island, I would say. But even more so when I came to Ohio, this little town of Minster. So beautiful. Everyone's so nice. It's so warm. Just a small town.
Well, it was in the summer, so it was warm.
Well, cold now.
Okay.
Just kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, poor Quinn. Just shooting it down.
I was just so inspired because I went and met Grandma. She lives right across the street from this great big Catholic church, right in the heart of the town. And you don't expect to have such a big church in such a small town. It was amazing. And I was just really inspired and really just fell more in love with Hannah and Ohio. I had never really spent much time in Ohio before, so this song was just inspired by her and the beautiful town of Minster, Ohio. Can you hear it? It's all good?
I think so.
Just for you, I thought I'd start with a riddle. What's round on the outside and high in the middle? Oh, 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 Ohio, oh, oh, oh. She's pretty all around, she got love in her core, and I can't believe I found what I wasn't even looking for. Oh, 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 Ohio, oh, oh. You'll be surprised what you find when you ain't even trying, when you ain't even trying. It may be near, it may be far, but if it matters to your heart, it won't be wasted time. If you're driving down Hanover Street, you'll find Grandma's house. She lives across from the church in the heart of the town down in Ohio. And I could go on about this place and its beauty, but I'll refrain, 'cause it ain't even worth comparing to the woman it contains. Oh, 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 Hannah. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, you'll be surprised what you find when you ain't even trying, when you ain't even trying. That's the thing about a lady, you'll do things you wouldn't maybe if her heart weren't around for you to wear. Oh, here's my heart, you can take it, 'cause I ain't going nowhere. I'll always care for you, lose all my hair for you. I'll be sending up my prayers for you, so believe me when I say, hey, I ain't leaving, no, I'm here to stay. You surprise me all the time, but you ain't even trying. No, you ain't even trying.
Thanks so much, Quinn. That was sure. That was awesome.
Thank you.
And I want to thank everyone out there for listening, and thank Hannah and Quinn for joining me today on the chat with Father Matt.
Thank you, Father.
Thanks a lot, Father.
Sure. If you have a subject you'd like me to discuss with my friends that come along, feel free to email me at vicar@forrecoverycatholics.org or message me on Facebook at For Recovery Catholic Cluster. We're also now on iTunes, so download that podcast and rate us on iTunes so we can get this podcast out to other people. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week for the chat with Father Matt.